Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Magic of Midlife. I am your host, Wendy Berry, and it is a fine Tuesday evening, and I thank you all so much for tuning in this evening. I want to start off letting you know how you can call in and be a part of this evening's program. The number is 646-716-7979. And you are in for a real treat this evening. I've got a lovely lady that is kind enough to come on and be my guest this evening. Her name is Jen Gilchrist, and she is a speaker and transformational business and personal leadership mentor. This lovely lady has been an entrepreneur for 17 years, and she went from being a single mom to having a six-figure business, making money doing what she loves and empowering others to do so. She works with highly sensitive entrepreneurs. And I can tell you that I think that there's a lot of us women who fall into that category of being highly sensitive. Now, I'm not talking about emotional, but I'm talking about sensitive. Entrepreneurs that at a deep level, she supports them to reclaim the confidence, trust, and tools they need to harness their intuition, reconnect with their unique purpose, and make a thriving business without burning out. That's the key. Jennifer is deeply inspired and passionate about empowering others to be the leaders in their life and in their business. She considers being a mother to her beautiful and talented daughter her greatest joy and accomplishment. And you're not going to be able to guess this about her, but her personal favorite pleasure is to swim with dolphins. And she has swam with the dolphin pods in Kona, Hawaii, close to 40 different times with hundreds of dolphins. And that I really am looking forward to hearing about because I've never swam with dolphins. So let me just bring on this lovely lady. Jen, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Wendy, so much for having me on your show. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, and I'm so glad to have you. And so, Jen, as we're getting started here, I want to start out letting people know how they can get a hold of you. So we'll let you share that now, and then we can come back in with that later to remind folks if you want to tell them the best way to get in touch with you.
Okay, you can visit my website at empoweredwomensleadership.com, and you'll find a little bit more information about myself there, and there's a way to contact me through that site, or you can email me directly at jen@empoweredwomensleadership.com.
All right. Thanks so much. So, Jen, something that I left out as I was introducing you is that you have started more than one business, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yes. So what was the very first business that you started out?
I started out being self-employed as a hairstylist and makeup artist, which I did for 17 years, and I specialize in hair and makeup for weddings. So I travel on site and do hair and makeup for the whole group. I have a team of people that would join me, and we had a lot of fun doing, I can't even tell you, hundreds and hundreds of brides over the years.
Wow. So you started out as an independent hairdresser, and then you found your niche working with brides and their parties to help them get ready.
Yes.
And you founded the Blissful Bride Program, correct?
I did. Yeah. So during that time, I kind of had the two businesses. I had my hair business, and I was doing brides, and then I had my coaching and intuitive healing business on the side, and I had it very separate. And I realized that brides could really use these tools to manage the stress and overwhelm and just communication with the vendors and all these different family dynamics that would come up during the wedding. And so I created the Blissful Bride Program to help them really keep their engagement glow from yes to I do. and create the wedding of their dreams instead of somebody else's. So that
right.
was a niche program.
Wow. And having my daughter just celebrated her second wedding anniversary. And I tell you, that is a very stressful time, not just for the brides, but for the moms trying to get everything together.
Had people say, you should have something for the bride's moms. And of course I could help them too if they needed it. But that came up a lot. That's funny that you mentioned that. The moms need support too.
And sometimes it's a matter of helping the two communicate, don't you think?
Definitely. And it comes up also with, the mother-in-law, I know there's sometimes there are communication issues where maybe the mother-in-law would, they didn't know how to communicate and was trying to maybe take over the wedding. I've had several instances of that. And the bride either didn't know how to, stand up and speak up about what was important to her and ended up having these kind of passive-aggressive feelings going forward in the relationship, or would feel frustrated with the fiancé because they're trying to stay out of it, but they didn't know how to communicate to the fiancé that, hey, I'd like your support, So there's all kinds of communication dynamics. And with vendors, right, being clear about what you want and prioritizing how you want to spend your money as well. There's lots.
Right, right. And helping the bride to be able to prioritize what they actually want versus what somebody else thinks they might want at their wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah,
totally. There's
definitely.
So many decisions.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what I see that as a real pivotal point for them as they're moving forward in their married life, being able to take some of those tools that you helped them to learn during that process so they could translate that to other areas in their life.
Oh, definitely. That was definitely my vision as well. Sometimes they could be aware of that at the time, and I think sometimes it would come to them as we work together, they'd realize that side benefit. But my intention is definitely to have the communication skills just translate into how you parent, how you have a relationship, allows deeper levels of intimacy to happen. And oftentimes, things come up. People don't realize that maybe their stress or need to control everything, and it's manifesting in this way of thinking that's about all these decisions, but really there might be something like their parents could have got divorced, and that's starting to trigger something within them that needs to be cleared up before they can move forward into their marriage so that they can have that soulful connection. So it's very fascinating. It's been fun.
I love the fact that that there's so many dimensions to that people don't even think about when they're going through that process. And the word that jumped out at me was your word, your intention. And I was thinking how important that is in whatever we're doing in our life. So if the bride is intending to move through this wedding process smoothly and easily and what she getting clear on what she intends for that day, then you could help her focus on that and be able to not get sidetracked with things that maybe, would kind of send her off in another direction, feeling stressed out and upset about something, right?
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely. Because most of the time I'll ask them, they just want to feel happy and enjoy the day, but yet they're putting all their energy and emotion and time and money into these little details. And so really bringing them back to, what is their vision and helping them anchor that in and set themselves up to delegate some responsibilities, set it up to where it works for them and they can actually have what they're intending, what their vision is. So, beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so now, so you were talking about having your other coaching program kind of separate from that, and then you kind of melded it. And now you're moving into your Empowered Women Leadership program, right?
Yeah, exactly. I work with, what I love is just helping women feel empowered in their lives, right? Like feel empowered in their lives and their businesses. And for me, working with being an entrepreneur as well, and I feel like, yes, we're all these different hats, right? You're a mom, the wife, possibly you're working with clients and you have all these hats to wear. And so I like to help them create a work-life balance. I like to help them connect with, you know, what their unique calling and purpose is, so they can set up a business that actually fuels their soul and is helping them to have the confidence and courage to step into what they actually dream and desire, so that they can make this a bigger impact in a world. And in that process, they're learning how to balance so that they can set up this, a system or a business that actually supports their bigger goals and desires, if that's to be with family and, not to be working 80 hours a week, and all these things that so often you find entrepreneurs start out with a dream and then fizzle out because they end up losing that and end up overwhelmed.
Right,
so it's kind of encompassing
right.
a lot.
Well, and what I heard you say is I help them to identify their vision, their dream. So again, you're working with, what is your intention? What is it that you really, truly desire and want? Because you can't move from where you are now to where you'd like to be unless you know where it is that you'd like to be.
Exactly. Getting clarity on that is important. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times I will ask people what they desire, and they may not even have taken the time to truly consider what that is. And so that's interesting that we start there for sure and see where maybe they think they're lined up, or maybe they had a desire and then they've grown and shifted and then their business didn't get a shift with it, right? Or maybe they've added a baby into the family and yet their business model didn't shift. And so now suddenly what used to work is no longer in alignment with them. So just being
right.
in tune to that all the time is important.
Right. Well, let me remind our callers real quick about how they can call in and talk with us if they have any questions or if they'd like to add into the conversation. That number is 646-716-7979. So what I'd like to do, Jen, is how do you go about helping them get that clarity? How do taking that first step of deciding what it is that they really desire so that they can know where they're moving toward?
You know, people come to me at all different spaces, I think, with where they're at with their clarity. A lot of times they know, like I'll ask them certain questions around what their desire is in terms of how they like to work with people. A lot of times people are actually in business transition even. So maybe they're in a job and they don't know how they're going to shift into it. It's like, I'm doing this thing, but I really want to help people with this thing. And so we start to devise a plan to take action on step by step, getting clear on how they can just chunk down this big process into important one step at a time, figuring out where you're at and what's the first thing we need to do, whether it's delegate some responsibilities, getting some help. And really just, I think the process of them discovering their deep desires starts to come back to really them going within. So I guess I could back up a bit. And I start with initially teaching them how to connect with their body. Right, like I teach them tools to start to get out of the stress of figuring it out and come back to, I do a TLC body meditation, which is talk, listen, and commit. When they start to, they're doing practices each week, like I give them a little journaling activity, possibly learning how to meditate if they have never done that, just taking some mindfulness so that they can get out of the shoulds and the to-dos and actually start to sink into what is it that they truly desire? What does it look like to, in terms of what are their priorities? Do they want to be having a certain amount of vacation time with their children? Do they want to be off and only work 6 hours a day so that they can pick their kids up from school? Or do they want to, you know, hunker down and work for a few months and do group programs and then have a chunk of time a little bit more relaxed where they're not working with clients? So everybody's vision is different, and we look at different areas and kind of see where they're already balanced and where they need peace, having some more time and space allotted, and then just work on one, seeing where they're at most off balance, and then take one step at a time, moving their havingness up in each area, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
So everybody's in different spaces, you know? Everybody's in different spaces. Usually I customize my programs based on where they are.
Where they are. Hey, Jen, we're getting a little bit of feedback. Are you on a headset by any chance?
Yeah, do you want me to not be on a headset?
Yeah. See if see, let me see how it sounds, because I want to make sure everybody can hear you really well, because you have so much wonderful information to share.
Okay, how's this?
Oh, that's much clearer. Thank you so much, Jen.
You're welcome. Sorry.
No. So, Jen, I love the fact that you start where people are and you help them to gain clarity about what it is that they want. So you're looking at their life and balance. Are there some particular areas? I know, like for myself with my coaching, I have five particular areas that I kind of look at as far as life areas and seeing where they are balanced. What would you, do you look at it that way, or how do you come at that?
We look at their personal, you know, checking out. That is like they have that, there's a simple balance of life. So looking at, you know, how much time are they focusing on their own, if spirituality is something. I help them also design. I give them the five basic areas as well in terms of home life, personal, career, spiritual. And we look at all the different areas and where they personally prioritize themselves and maybe where they want to be prioritizing, but they're not. We get an honest look at, are they spending time and energy in things that actually fill up their love cup? I think a lot of times when I start with people, it's really getting them out of burnout. So the first thing is creating balance and self-care. Sorry if I forgot self-care, because that's the humongous piece. Looking at what you do, you know, self-care can include, it could include reading a book. It can include getting a massage. It could mean meeting up with some girlfriends and having some playtime, or getting a personal trainer and working at the gym. You know, everybody's got different things, and every day knowing to have a little bit of balance and taking some time to rejuvenate yourself, I think, is important. And that's usually the biggest area that is lacking and that we need to start with, so that they can get a little more connected to what their body needs, give themselves permission, because I think that women often have, you know, this guilt and responsibility that everybody else gets taken care of first, and they forget or feel like there's not time or space and not prioritizing themselves until they burn out. And really, the amazing thing is, and especially as a highly sensitive or empathic, which a lot of people are, but just women in general, tend to be overgivers, and we're natural nurturers. And so learning to have that balance and realizing when I fill myself up and I'm in balance, I am actually more productive in my business. I'm more productive, you know, in my relationships. I can have closer, more deeper, intimate relationships and ties with my family and my friends and all of those things. So we kind of make that switch, and usually that ends up being the first area that we work on.
Right, and that goes along with that meditation that you were talking about. The TLC is really tuning in to themselves and being able to take care of themselves first, right?
Yeah, it's really great, you know, just taking a few minutes and, you know, taking a few deep breaths and then first talk to your body. Especially, it's like you can use this meditation to release stress, because we hold stress and tension like in our muscles. You can use it to start to connect with your general body's needs. And you can start to, when you're doing that, you begin to tap into connecting with your body and spirit communication, which is a part, you know, a way that you open up to that intuition, that inner compass that we all have. And that's really where you start to get clear about what you actually desire. Once you can start to actually make space for that place to come in. And so it's kind of, you know, dependent on where people are at, how connected to their desires they are. A lot of times we have to start with getting them connected with their body.
And you have a wonderful gift for the radio listeners that includes this meditation, isn't that right?
I do. I have a gift.
Go ahead. I want you to share that.
Okay. I created a nice blissful bundle for you. It's the 5 essential steps to blissful living. It's a PDF, and it has 5 important steps that I think will benefit anyone, and especially if you feel like you might be an empathic or highly sensitive person, it's vital that some of these things are in place for you, and oftentimes they're not. And each one has an activity, an alignment activity that you can do. So one of them is that meditation. I have an audio meditation. Another training that I put in there is a short video training where I teach you how you can communicate with your angels. Because the beautiful thing about being sensitive is, once we are not overwhelmed by it and we can quiet down, you're already opened up. I mean, I believe everybody has intuitive abilities, but when you're sensitive, you're already opened up. So now it's just a matter of opening up and communicating and learning to communicate with God and the angels has been a big part of helping me line up with my purpose and take that. And I also teach that to my clients. So you'll get that training. And then I included a highly sensitive to highly empowered call, which goes into even more about, you know, are you curious? If maybe you're not sure, maybe you are, maybe you're not. It'll go into some ways to recognize that. And again, give five great tools for you to start to really shift into helping these sensitivities be not an overwhelming burden, but to actually turn into being your greatest gift and strength.
And how would they be able to take part in that gift?
I got a special link for you guys because I juiced it up by adding a few extra things. So you get your own special link, and it's go to empoweredwomensleadership.com/freegiftradio. I just did radio for your radio show. Keep it simple.
Oh, awesome. So, awesome. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we got that out there because I just think that that's so generous of you to make that offer to the listeners this evening. And I know that moving in to, you know, you mentioned that you work with angels and you're currently doing I want to say workshop.
Angelic
it's not,
activation.
It's, that's it. That's the word I was looking for. And I know that you talked about that TLC, and I just thought that was a wonderful acronym, and loved the languaging in that. And your meditation is amazing. So thank you for making that available to people. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Angels have really been with me from the very beginning of, you know, when things weren't going so great for me and I hit my rock bottom and I had my wake-up call in life and I really started to tap into life has to be better than this. The angels were the first thing that really came into my life and have continued to be a guiding force the entire time, passionate about helping people connect with their angels because and really connect with their intuition and to have that because once you know that you have this entire spiritual support team that are waiting and willing to help open doors for you and lead you every step of the way, suddenly it's not so scary to make these job changes. And suddenly it's not so overwhelming to think, well, how am I going to get from here to there? Because you know that you have the help and that you're going to be guided every step of the way. So it's been so empowering. I just love sharing that with others.
So can you share just a little bit about that point in your life when you hit that rock bottom and you knew that there needed to be a change and you found that support system for yourself?
Yeah, I just took a big sip of tea. Hold on.
Okay.
It went down the wrong pipe. So, yeah, so for me, on the outside it looked great. I was able to create a six-figure business. I was single, self-employed mom, making six figures. On the outside, by society standards, everything was great, right? Because I just had to keep on and keep going. But on the inside, I was extremely overwhelmed. I had a really overbooked schedule. I was constantly working, sometimes 6-7 days a week, coming in early, staying late, you know, trying to balance the daughter, you know, getting her to soccer and, you know, doing all these things. And I just had to keep going. And I was ignoring myself. And I didn't really have any tools to manage the stress and overwhelm. So I pretty much just found myself, you know, numbing myself with food or wine or something as a way to overcome, you know, manage the stress and overwhelm so that I could wake up and do it again. And during that time, I continued to have, you know, some cycles of codependent, unhealthy type relationships and
You know, looking back, I was so disconnected from myself, and I didn't even know it. I knew that I had to just put this facade out and just keep on showing up, which took even more energy to make it seem like everything's perfect and fine and I can handle it, right? I'm sure some of you felt like that. Well, at one point, I was at a friend's house and having a few glasses of wine, and the next thing I know, I'm on my way home, and I ended up flipping my car into a ditch, rolled it twice, crashed out all the windows. Luckily, nobody else was hurt. Nobody else was involved. I crawled out a window with just a few scratches, but I'll tell you, that was a humongous wake-up call for me. Like, I felt so alone and stressed out because I knew that I couldn't keep going that way. I mean, my mind was just always spinning with to-do lists. I kind of felt just stressed out, basically, to the max. And I knew that I had to find another way to manage my stress, obviously. And so from that moment on, I didn't know what to do. But I knew I had to change. And so I prayed, basically. I just prayed to be peace and that happy and at peace. That's all I wanted. And that night, my grandfather came to me in a dream, which is significant because he played a really strong role in my life, and he passed away when I was 10, and I was about in my early 30s at this time. And I'd never, ever been able to see him in a dream. So he came, and he showed me. He, like, came in, and we were guided down in this ship. It looked like we were coming out of the clouds of heaven and down, looking at all this chaos and turmoil, which represented my life and different areas that I was overwhelmed with and didn't know how to change, but didn't want to stay in either. And he just showed me that, you know, he woke up something within me. And he showed me that I had lost and been unconscious to really my mind-body-spirit connection, and that even though I have to go back and walk the steps and take care of the things and take the steps to change my life in a way that would be fulfilling and happy that I dreamed of, I wasn't actually alone, that there was God and angels. And so from that moment forward, everything just changed. It's like literally something woke up within me. And I became literally like a self-help junkie. I think I read every book like in a year. I just self-taught. I was like reading all this stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it just started becoming so, I had no idea that I had no idea that anybody was maybe even intuitive, or I didn't know any of these things. I kind of grew up in a very conservative Christian upbringing, and I just didn't, this new age stuff I had never heard of, and I just never knew. I mean, I ended up getting my first psychic reading, actually, which was kind of a turning point after I read some books. And she told me in 5 years I'd be doing what she was doing, a version of it. And at that point, honestly, I was like, what? Like, I didn't even know if anybody was really psychic. I just decided to try it. My friend said she helped him. And turned out this woman told me more about myself, more clearly about how I felt in 2 hours than I could even have tried to explain to myself at that time. It was really powerful. And then sure enough, 4 years later, my first business was born, Divine Spark Within. So from there on, I just started, kept on going. It's like the once I got empowered to know that I could actually utilize these sensitivities. And that was the one thing I was going to say is I didn't realize, coming through all this, I realized that my overwhelm that would manifest in this very scattered, frazzled, you know, always running on hamster wheels, to-do lists, blah, 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 all the time, and mine was just spinning kind of feeling, was a lot to do with energetically being overwhelmed. And at that time, I'd never heard the term highly sensitive before. And so once I started reading about that, I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Like I was literally, I learned that I was really absorbing and sponging all the energy of my clients all day long. And so when I got off of work, that's where I would use food or alcohol as a way to really feel to ground, like to feel grounded and to start to not know how to manage all of this extra energy that was in my space now. And I didn't know that was happening, right? And so I find that a lot of highly sensitive people and empaths tend to go through different levels of addiction or numbings, whether it's some people shop, some people just stay busy, some people, you know, have some round of numbing happening to manage their emotions, because highly sensitive people manage their emotions through their nervous system, and so it creates this level of anxiety that's kind of just running in the space. And so, yeah, that was a huge huge thing to find out, and very awesome, because once you know that, you can take tools, you know, learn lots of tools to start to manage that. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm really intuitive. Like, the benefits of being intuitive is you have these amazing hearts. You're super, you're going to be a great loyal listener to people. You're going to naturally have a big, open, compassionate heart. You're going to be a great service person, you know, in coaching or nursing or something like that, you know, in a way
right.
that you can really better the world.
I want to talk more about this, but let me remind everybody how they can call in and be a part. If they have any questions, please call in and talk with us. That number is 646-716-7979. Excuse me. So, Jen, if our listeners are sitting out there and they're going, I wonder if I'm highly, you know, sensitive, empathic, what are some things that, you know, they could identify to see if that's something that they would, you know, that they are? How would they know that?
Well, one thing is just knowing if you're, let me just clarify first, how a sensitive person and empath. To me, most people I come in contact with identify with both. However, there are a few slight differences, but most of them, their qualities do overlap. And so these things will be beneficial for everyone, either one. And that difference being processing the emotions in the nervous system for the highly sensitive person versus the empath is just aware of people's sensitivities and soaking it up like a sponge. So some of those symptoms would be like noticing if you are really aware when you're around certain people, you can be in one mood, and then all of a sudden you might have a certain friend, and you might love them. It's nothing personal to the person, but when they leave, you just feel like super drained. Like if you'll notice that your energy can just change a lot depending on who you're around. You might get really overwhelmed in large crowds, like shopping at the mall at Christmas time would probably be your least favorite thing. It would probably be really overstimulating and overwhelming. Most of highly sensitive and empaths are very acutely aware of other people's emotions, and so they tend to have cycles of codependent relationships or occasion because it's too overwhelming. So they end up not being able to speak up for themselves in an argument or in something intensive, avoid that conversation altogether, or end up being kind of a people pleaser to their detriment because they don't want to upset anybody, or they notice when somebody's, you know, getting mad. Like all those extreme emotions of other people affect them a lot. Like you're very aware of them, so you tend to avoid that. Very easily frazzled or overwhelmed, and you might have heard your whole life, you're just too sensitive, right? Like some people judge that as like, you know, not understanding. You probably reflect on life and care about like the deeper questions of life more than people around you. And I would say on the flip side, like once you're empowered, those are the ways you can see it when maybe the gifts are taking you for a ride. If you're not aware of them and you're not knowing how to manage with self-care and otherwise, then that's how it looks. On the flip side, when your gifts are empowering you, it's like you have a big heart, you're compassionate, you're extremely intuitive, you're creative, often in the healing services, great listener. People just tell you things, right? They trust you. You probably need some alone time to recharge. You know, those are kind of the big picture things that I would say are common.
Right. Well, I know I identify with a lot of those. I don't like malls for the most part.
Right.
And I don't like places like Disneyland and Disney World because I don't want people so close to me. Mm-hmm. There's just too much energy. But it's very fascinating that one of the things that I learned is to be able to separate, learning how to separate what I'm really feeling versus what I'm picking up on other people feeling and not bringing that in as my own. And that's something that's really important to learn for somebody who's empathic or highly sensitive. Because for a long time, it'd be like, you know, it's like I pick up on all the people's feelings, but then I didn't even know what I was feeling. I thought those were my feelings, but they truly weren't mine. They belonged to someone else. And
yeah, it can be very confusing, huh?
Yeah, it definitely was. And, you know, when you were talking about in a codependent relationship, it's very easy to, if you, I was in a relationship with someone who had a very hard time emoting. And because I could pick up and I would feel all those feelings and I would emote and they would feel better. I would feel horrible, but they would feel better because, you know, it was like a release for them. And so I had to learn that that was taking on somebody else's feelings, their things, instead of being able to identify that that's theirs and I have my own feelings.
Yeah, that's a huge one to discern. I can agree. I've stayed in relationships. You know, I mean, I'm sure people can identify with that too, right? There's, I've had a few relationships that I've been in much longer than I really want to be in, and it's because I'd wake up confused. Like one day I'd like, no, this isn't right anymore, and then it's like, no, and then I'd get confused back in it because I was running their emotions and desire for it as my own, and so it gets complicated to discern the difference, and that's definitely a humongous first thing to learn. And that starts with learning some basic meditation tools is the first thing. I think the TLC body meditation will help if anybody's feeling like that, is a good way to start to ground and become aware of your of what's your energy and what somebody else's. You have to kind of come back into yourself and be able to start to let go of that chatter so that you can literally kind of begin to learn tools to cleanse yourself on an energetic level.
Right.
Baths are awesome. That's a quick way. Quick way to feel relieved is take a nice hot salt bath with a little lavender. You'll start to separate, and then from there you can ground and meditate easier also.
So the salt baths themselves, that how does that actually work? I mean, I know that it works.
Me too. I know I've read it before on the science factor. Something to do with it balancing the ions, like in the energy field, it literally does help to balance something in the ionic energy auric field. I'm not too much of a scientific buff, but I have read that's all I can remember on that. But for me, I just know that it works. Like being in salt water, being in water in general is very clearing for my space and very healing. And I know the moment that I dip my toe into swimming in the saltwater ocean like Hawaii, that's why I love it there. And you go in there, it's like, oh my gosh, I just feel so clear and connected with myself from swimming in the ocean every day that when I take it home and do a bath, like you will, I think if you're as a sensitive person, immediately feel lighter. It's almost like you just had meditated for 30 minutes to step into a salt bath. Like literally, you'll start to easily release the day. And also I think we hold stuff in our body, so it helps our body feel safe and relaxed when we pamper, whether it's massage or salt bath. Like helping your body, because there's a certain level of anxiety that begins to run through the nervous system when you're overloaded. Calming, that's why self-care, like for, I would say it can do anybody wonders, but for a highly sensitive or empathic person, self-care is pretty much an essential vital necessity to have in part of your life. It's like it needs to just be your energetic care and your self-care needs to be a staple, because you're always going to be going on up and down burnout modes if you don't have that incorporated. And you'll notice as soon as you stop doing something, you'll have a burnout week and you look back and you'll go, oh, I'm not doing my morning, you know, whether it's your exercise or your yoga or your meditation or your walk in nature, whatever it is for you that you use. You'll notice you probably weren't doing those things when you start to get to where it feels like things are just too much and you get frozen and you can't deal with it.
Right, right. So I know, okay, so we have energetic, I mean, we have our physical body and then we have our energetic body that surrounds our physical body. And that gets referred to as the aura. And that actually is a vibration that is a kind of a culmination of feelings and how our body is in the moment. And as it's taking in and interacting with other people's energy and their auras, you know, sometimes some of that stuff kind of rubs off and gets into the highly sensitive and empathic person's, you know, auric body, and it needs to be cleansed out. So as you're as you're doing that connecting, that reconnecting, it helps to recycle and re-cleanse that auric body to help get that cleaned out. And I think that's how the salt bath changes that kind of frequency and vibration within that field to help clear that.
Yeah.
Now, did you tell me that you also are Reiki? Do you do Reiki?
I do lots of different energy. Yeah, I have Reiki. I do more, I don't necessarily do that. I am Reiki certified for sure, the different levels. And I've done different trainings on hands-on healing. I work with the angels in my healing. So I do energy healing, but I kind of have a compilation of all of it. And I work from this, from the basis of I'm just facilitating the healing. I help the healee bring up their vibration to their highest essence, you know, with the help of the angels sometimes, and God, and allow them to drop away that which is no longer serving them.
Right.
So it's definitely a hands-on. Well, it doesn't have to be. It can be distance, but I do like hands-on healing.
Right. So that's another way that if somebody's looking at how do I help cleanse that energetic field, that they could also look into utilizing is finding somebody that does energy work like that to help with that clearing. And you're right about the massage, because so many massage therapists, you know, when they're working with different muscles, as they're working with it, people have releases of emotion and energy as things shift and move.
Yeah, it's great when you can find a person that you really that you trust, that you feel comfortable with, that they know you, and that it's a good practitioner. It can be amazing. And I think that just also the day to day, you know, it's great to do those. I do that for myself, even, you know. I like to definitely work with other people. But even just the day-to-day, like being in nature, like the things that you can do on a daily basis is, you know, meditation, yoga could be, being outside, connecting with the earth, just connecting with your breath. Those simple things, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes in the beginning and the end of the day, will start to help you begin to separate and get a little bit more clear again about what, you know, letting go of what's not yours and taking back in more of you.
Right. So there's a practice that I have that, because you were talking about water, and it's not salt water, but it's sometimes when I'm feeling really anxious and when I'm in the shower, I just visualize the water just washing away that I don't need anymore. It's not just cleaning, you know, the body, but cleaning the energy field and letting go of all that stuff causes anxiety and builds up. Just like we take baths, and I think we need to be able to do that. So those are some tools and things that as coaches, we get to share with people that we work with and help them to be able to, because we can't change any lives. All we can do is help guide people on paths so that they know they can find what works for them in their toolbox.
Right, just giving them tools and awareness for sure.
Yeah,
I love that.
Absolutely.
I do that too. One thing I do, another thing that I could offer quickly is I do a letting go, kind of like a letting go quick ritual at the end of your work. You can do it anytime you want it, either at the end of the day before bed, or sometimes I use it as a transition in and out of work, especially if you're working with clients. But you can even do it when you get off the phone with mom or whoever, you know, however that works for you. But you just take a moment to just close, you know, close your eyes, and I always connect with my body. So I place my hand on my heart and my belly and just breathe for a moment. And then I just start to imagine whoever that the person was, because sometimes it's like, I think a lot of people work with clients one-on-one or whoever they've interacted with in the day, and you can just imagine them kind of going off in a balloon, like you can picture out in front of you a balloon, and you just kind of say that person's name and let them go off in that balloon and just let the balloon float off, and they can have their energy back. And you're just sort of consciously kind of letting go and saying, you know, okay, goodbye, I'll see you next time, is sometimes all you need to do. Sometimes
wow,
people
that's
just
a,
forget and the energy's left. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great exercise that you shared. Yes. So we've got about 15 minutes left, and I'd like to hear more about the angels and being able to work with them, and how people can become more in tune with their angel guides that they have.
Okay. So I think the first step is always, you know, I think the first thing with angels is you need to ask, right? You just want to make that conscious connection to asking for their help, right? They're always there. We all have guardian angels. I work a lot specific with some of the archangels because I find it fun. They'll have different personalities. They kind of become like, you know, you have your girlfriend you like to go shopping with. You got somebody else who you always share your relationship stories with or whatever. Well, the angels all have different personalities and facets of God, right? And so it's really fun that way as well. But really, you just have to ask. Say, angels, I start my day with setting the intention, like whatever your intention is for the day that you want, however you want to experience things, or if you're working on having clarity of your path or decision, or just whatever it is you want, and ask them for your help and to show you signs. And that's the first step, is to ask for signs. And then the next thing you want to do is start to give yourself the space to listen. And this is where that TLC meditation could come in handy, or any kind of meditation where you're connecting with your body. So you ask, and then you quiet, and you allow yourself just to listen. And right then and there, you can start to notice any visions or any thoughts or any ideas that or any feelings that might come to you. Depending on how attuned you are or used to doing this, you might get something right away and you might not. But you just give yourself that space, and then just know, you know, that it's going to come to you throughout the day or days coming if not. So you just start with that. And then you have to take the action, the inspired action, as I would tell you, not the efforting action, but the inspired action. So often I'll notice with the angels, the guidances may be about a lot about self-care and body, actually, because our body is our vehicle, and it's needs to have a lighter vibration. We need to have space to be able to hear these messages to come in, to be aware that they're even coming in. And so sometimes you'll notice that too. Do you want me to share some ways that they communicate with us, or did you have another question?
No, that well, what I really liked, and I wanted to just focus, is once again, you were talking about you have to have intention, and then the other word went out.
No,
you have to be open. So you need to know what your intention is, and you have to be, you have to wait with expectation. So you have to know that you're going to get an answer. So it's not like,
right,
well, I'm going to ask this question, but I know I'm not going to get any answer, so just forget it. You're not going to get anything. So you have to have that expectation, that anticipation that it's going to be done. So you set an intention, you have your expectation, and then you listen, and which is an active process. Listening is not something that, I mean, we think listening is just something that we do, but really good listening is an active participation. And so what I hear you saying is that's really an active step, is listening, being aware, and then moving in that action, because the more that we take those steps, the more that we're going to be able to get more input from our guides.
Yeah, and I noticed that from, it seems that the steps will come one or two steps at a time. So sometimes, you know, I will have gotten, you know, I'll be asking, like I know when I was first trying to, I was really just opening up my intuition and really wanting to know about my purpose, and I was very intent on that, and I kept asking, and I wasn't feeling like I was getting the specific answer that I wanted, right? This written plan of, well, this is what you're doing and this is how you do it. And so, but what I was noticing was that I was being called to eat, I would get these thoughts to be eating more organic food, and I was getting thoughts to significantly or completely reduce caffeine, because I was drinking a lot of coffee. And
And I wasn't doing it because I was kind of like, yeah, okay, I'm sure I should probably eat more organic. And I wasn't noticing this was actually a guidance step coming in. I kind of was looking at it as a thought, but it was repetitive. And so pay attention to repetitive thoughts that are short and concise and in your favor, because it very well is quite possibly an answer to what you've asked, right? And so eventually I tripped over a book. I was at Barnes & Noble, and I've been kind of not listening to this for like a month or so, and I really wasn't getting very far and much closer with having clarity on my purpose either. And then I opened up this book. I felt very guided to this particular book. I just decided to open to a page and read it. And it was specifically talking about to raise your body vibration, to open up your intuition and your clairvoyance and all this. You know, it's important to, your body will be very sensitive. You need to have a cleaner diet, and less than the caffeine will be causing anxiety and spinning mind and all these things that related to what I was asking. But I didn't see it. And I wasn't taking the steps because the step didn't seem related to what I was asking. So just pay attention to what your guides are, you know, what your signs are, and take action, even if it doesn't see it. Because until you take that step or two, likely the next steps won't reveal themselves.
Right, right. looks like we have a caller. Let me see if I can bring them on. Good evening, caller. You're on Midlife or Magic with Midlife. Who am I speaking with?
Yes, good evening. My name is Jenny Tolliver.
Hi, Jenny Tolliver. How are you this evening?
I'm well. This is very interesting to me. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not, but it seems like I called in before you all were done with the show.
Yes, and do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I would like to know a little bit. I just wanted to comment on getting that second wind at midlife. And one of the signs for me was just kind of being done with where I was and just seeking to find out what was the next step for me. And some of the things that caught my attention or caught my interest, I had to stop for a minute and just kind of reflect on me. And so to get a better understanding of where I was to go next and how I was to get there. So that has been a journey of education for me. And it is something that I'm finding that I enjoy. So at the end of a cycle was the beginning of another cycle. And that was very interesting for me. And that's where I am now. So I'm very grateful for that. So I'm very pleased to be able to call in and hear and share.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, because you're absolutely right. You know, life is not from point A to point B. I think of it as being kind of a spiral, and you go through stages of your life. There's different places that we are, and each one of them has a beginning and end. And there's lots of wonderful lessons that we get to learn as well. And then we get to learn some hard lessons. I've had to learn hard lessons during some of my stages and things in my life. So I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. But when I look back on it, it was all good, right?
Yes, I agree. Some of the greater lessons came through some of the pain that I could carry it forward.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, did you feel like there were helpers as you made some transitions in your life? Did you find that you had guidance and some support around you? Did you find that?
I was just listening at what the speaker was saying. Thank you so much, Jen. And you know, to be honest with you, I agree, because some of those signposts or some of those flags or some of those helpers I did not recognize, because I did not know them until after the fact. And so just learning going forward helped me dig deeper and reach more into my own power and into the spiritual and into the divine to contact a network, if you will, for me that was there to support me as I journey and as I travel. And since then, that's so much part of the excitement, because I realize that there's so much available for me that I didn't know. So that's why I say it was educational for me as well. It's truly a fun journey once I opened my mind and recognized that there is help, there was support. I just didn't recognize because I wasn't in tune with them. But going
right.
forward, I'm more excited because I'm more confident now.
Right. Well, thank you
thank
so
you.
Much for calling in and joining thank the conversation tonight. I'm so glad that you shared with us. And be sure to check
thank
out Jen's website because she's got a lot
yes.
of really great information. Okay?
Yes. Thank you so
right.
much and good night. Thank you, ladies. Thank you,
good
Jen.
Night.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
So, Jen, we're coming down. We got 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to share your website and how folks can get in touch with you. And this has been marvelous. I have so enjoyed this evening. And so let them know how they can get in touch with you.
All right. Well, again, I have a wonderful free gift on empoweredwomensleadership.com/freegiftradio. So you can get your free gift there. There's lots of goodies, and one of the video trainings does talk about the 5 main ways that the angels can communicate with you and give you signs. So that's a really powerful tool that you can consciously create with the angels that I think you'll really like. And you can also email me through that site and get to know me a little bit more on empoweredwomensleadership.com. And then I also have a wonderful Facebook group. I'd love to, you can join us over there too. You can find me on Facebook at Jennifer Gilchrist, GILCHRIST. And our group is called Enlightened Entrepreneurs with Jennifer Gilchrist. And we just support one another in having balance and self-care and working with the angels and connecting with other like-minded support to really make life fun and feel like become the leader in your life and in your business that you desire. So that's where we're at.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jen. And folks, if you didn't catch that web address or any of the information that Jen shared with you, don't fret. Look for Magic of Midlife Radio on Facebook, and I will have all of the information listed there so you'll be able to find it, and you'll be able to listen to replays of this show and find how to get a hold of Jen or myself. I am Coach Wendy Berry, and I'm also on Facebook, and I would love for you all to look for the Facebook group, Magic of Midlife. I'm building a tribe of women on there that just gets together and talk about all the things that come up in midlife and be able to support one another as we journey through this stage in our life. And thank you so much for listening in this evening. And I will be back in 2 weeks. You guys have a great couple weeks, and I'll talk to you then. Thank you again, Jen.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Jen, are you still there?